Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Good Friday service. We're here to thank a Saviour, the Saviour of all men, the ultimate Saviour, the Saviour who died for all. So let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would give us a vision today, an understanding of all that you did at the cross. I pray that we would leave here today valuing the cross, valuing you, Lord Jesus, drawing close to you, loving you all the more because you first loved us. Grant us in this meditation today that we might see something of the beauty of your life and what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our meditation today is going to be on the cross as our boast. Hoss Guinness was an Englishman who is now living in America. He's an author, and he tells the story of a Jewish man during the time of the days of the old USSR when he was placed in prison for political reasons. During the time in the gulags, he became a Christian, a Jewish man who became a Christian. And the thing that kept him going during the 15 years of imprisonment was, number one, the hope of seeing his four-year-old son again. He was 4 years old when he went into prison. And secondly, his Christian faith. When he was released, he was delighted to see that his 19-year-old son, now 19 years old, was wearing a cross. And he remembered all the prayers that he'd prayed those years in prison for his son. But he was absolutely devastated when he found that the cross meant no more to his son than a piece of jewelry. We need to know that for Paul, the cross was his boast. Paul gloried in the cross. Galatians 6 and verse 14 says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Like Fanny Crosby, we want to, in the cross, glory ever. Both Paul and Fanny Crosby gloried in the cross. Why? How had the cross impacted their lives that they gloried in it? Have I the same boast in the cross this morning? Is the cross my glory ever? We need time to consider the cross this morning so that we might have the same boast and the same glory in the cross that the saints before us have done. Paul ends the book of Galatians saying in Galatians 6 and verse 11, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In those verses, Paul contrasts mere Jewish religion and faith in Christ. Mere Jewish religion is absolutely typical of man-made religion. Mere Jewish religion, like the cults, uses the Bible, but it doesn't fully understand the Bible. Those into mere Jewish religion, they were called the Judaizers, are typical of all man-made religions. Analyze it carefully, and all the religions of the world will fall into two groups. Bible-believing Christianity on the one hand, and all the others on the other hand. For Bible-believing Christianity alone is grace-dependent, whereas all the religions of the world are works-dependent. Bible-believing Christianity explains what has been done for us by the cross of Christ. All the other religions tell you what you have to do to be saved. So religion boasts in its works what it has done, like those Judaizers. Those who are truly saved can only boast in Christ, what Christ has done for us. As it says in those verses there at the end of verse 13, "But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's have a word of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we consider the cross today, we pray that you would continue to help us to understand what happened on the cross, understand how the cross is so life-changing for us, understand the pain that Jesus went through, not only the physical pain of having spikes through his arms and through his legs, but also, dear Heavenly Father, the tremendous spiritual pain of bearing the guilt and the shame of the world from the time it began until today and beyond. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the cross, and I pray that it might be life-changing. I pray that it might be motivating for us today. Please help us to see this same extreme value of the cross so that it becomes our only boast, my only boast. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I prayed a prayer, a very confused prayer, something like that, last Monday morning at about 3:30 a.m. as the Lord woke me early that morning. But I was basically just wanting to understand. Others had talked about the glory of the cross, and I felt I didn't really see the glory of the cross as I should. And I asked the Lord to show me that we might be able to share in the glory of the cross together. The next morning in my study, I found 7 reasons. Now, there's probably many more. Maybe next year we could do the next 7. But I found 7 reasons why we should glory in the cross. The first reason we should glory in the cross is the cross is a triumph for Christ. A triumph for Christ, not a loss. Talking of the cross, Colossians 2 and verse 15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That is, over them in the cross. That verse emphasizes the defeat of the principalities and powers, that is, the demonic realms that are against us. Because Satan thought he had won at the cross. He hadn't. Satan is too cunning for us. Don't ever think that we can outsmart him, but he's a fool compared to our God. Pride prevents Satan from seeing the things that God has clearly revealed. And pride prevented Satan from seeing his final loss. The Lord rebuked Satan, as the scripture says. 4,000 years before the cross, the Lord had predicted in Genesis 3 and verse 15, and I will put enmity or make an enemy between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed, all those that would come from her, and your seed, those that belong to Satan, and her seed, eventually, notice there that's a capital S, that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Satan didn't see his final defeat at the cross, and Satan fell for it. It was Satan who filmed Judas that he would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was Satan who incited all the people to yell out, crucify him, crucify him. And in doing so, Satan sealed his own defeat. It was the ultimate sting. The cross was a triumph for Christ over Satan and over the demons, but also the cross was a triumph over the flesh and over the world. We read in Galatians 6:14 at the top of your sheet, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Never fear, dear brothers and sisters, never fear the Satan or the demonic. It is true that Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but the cross has made him a toothless lion. He can only roar, intimidate, accuse, and discourage. He is, it's pictured in Pilgrim's Progress, Satan is on a leash. He's under God's control. He can only go so far as God allows him to go. The cross is a triumph for Christ, not a loss, and we have the victory in him. Therefore, we glory in the cross. The second reason we should glory in the cross is the cross brings glory to Christ, not shame. It brings glory to Christ, not shame. Jesus saw the cross as his hour to be glorified. Remember there in the upper room the night before he died, he prayed his high priestly prayer that is recorded in John chapter 17. And he said in that prayer, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. And Jesus was clearly looking forward to the cross at that time. Christ bore our shame in his body on the tree. In fact, Christ was shamed for us. I know most of the pictures picture him with some kind of waist cloth on. But he was probably naked on the cross. He was shamed. He was shamed because he had no sin and he was being crucified before the people. But he was shamed in his body too. and he bore that shame. He bore the guilt for us. All the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no greater glory, is centered in the cross of Christ. God glorified his Son through the cross, and so we should glory in the cross also. Consider the person who boasts about their religion, like the Judaizers that I mentioned before. They're full of pride in their own accomplishments. But we who boast of Christ are talking about his accomplishments. Boasting in self is proud, but boasting in Christ is humble. We give him the glory. The achievements of the Judaizers grips them, but it is the achievements of Christ that grips us. The Judaizers couldn't stop talking about what they had done, but we can't stop talking about what Christ has done, or we shouldn't be able to stop talking about it. The Father glorified the Son, and therefore we glory in the cross also. The third reason that we can glory in the cross is the cross brings us close. The cross brings us close who are far away. Without the cross, brothers and sisters, we could have no possible relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the living God. We're enemies far away, but the relationship has restored us. It has reconciled us to God. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled or restored us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We can tell others how they can be restored. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or counting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So our sin separated us from God. Our rebellion caused his face to turn away from us. But Jesus bore our sin in his body on the tree, bearing our rebellion, and provided a way for us to come close to God. When we trust him as our Savior from sin, then we're counted as without sin. We still have sin, clearly, but when we trust Christ as Savior, we're counted as being without sin. We can draw close to God. We're reconciled and restored. Now, having been reconciled, we have the joy of telling others how they can be drawn in, how they can know God for themselves, how they can know Christ, how they can be reconciled also. Three gang members in their 20s were all drunk, and they burst into a church where a choir practice was going on, and they demanded the choir director give them money. And they threatened, they had some weapons, and they threatened one of the young ladies there. But the choir director kept his cool, and he began talking to the gang. And he persuaded the gang to allow all the choir members, who are uni students, to go into another part of the church. And he began to say to them, "Why should I give you money? You'll only buy more grog, and you'll try and use that grog to fill the emptiness in your heart, but it won't work, because you'll be as unhappy and dissatisfied as you were before." To his surprise, one of the men sat down, put his head in his hands, and he said, "You're right. I feel so empty. I'm tired of being this way. What can I do?" But before the choir director could answer, the other two men began yelling and carrying on, but they'd lost their courage, and they soon left. Without Christ, our lives are empty, without direction, purposeless. But we glory in the cross because we now have a relationship with the living God, and that makes all the difference. We now know where we're going. We now know what's happening in this world. We can have joy in him. We're child of the King, and we can rejoice to serve him. We now have purpose and direction. A fourth reason to glory in the cross is the cross brings freedom when we were slaves to sin. Okay, here's some theology for you. Romans 6 and verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man," that's the sin nature, our tendency to sin, "knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." We are, without Christ, slaves to sin. But the sin nature has been crucified with Christ, and therefore we've been set free. We're now free to do what is right. And more than that, we can become slaves to Christ to do his will. Set free from being slaves to sin, to be slaves to our Savior. Listen to the application also there in Romans 6 and verse 15. "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey. So if you're serving the world, if you're serving yourself, you become a slave to that. Romans 6:12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Now the world's word for slavery to sin is addiction. And the obvious problem with staying clean from addiction is the problem of relapse. One drug counselor said, my personal opinion is that they all want to kick the habit, but they don't believe it's possible. Our job is to give them hope. That's a secular drug counselor. But dear friends, there is no hope like being let out of prison. There's no hope by being like being set free from slavery. Only the cross can do that. No secular drug counselor can do that, can give that hope. And therefore, we glory in the cross. It gives hope not only for cancelling the penalty of sin, the penalty of sin has been cancelled in our lives, but it gives hope for power to live the Christian life through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now free to do right. If we have a sin habit, we can glory in the cross that we can overcome it. There is power in the cross. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might now live for righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. We have the power to do right. Therefore, we glory in the cross. A fifth reason to glory in the cross is the cross brings acceptance when we were condemned. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But sadly, those who do not truly have a relationship with Christ are condemned already. We read in John chapter 3 and verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. No one can accuse us if we are in Christ, because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No, rather we're accepted in the Beloved, the book of Ephesians says. Ed Welch is a Christian counselor, and he had the unusual situation where he married his wife Sherry without her meeting his parents and without them being at the wedding. So some months after the wedding, they flew interstate so that the parents could meet Sherry. The parents were there and all the relatives that were there waiting at the airport to meet her. When they walked into the terminal, everyone in that family surrounded Sherry, welcoming her and hugging her, and Ed just stood at the side and watched all this happening. If they'd seen Sherry on the street, they probably wouldn't have even recognized her. But because she was now Mrs. Ed Welch, she was accepted into their family. It's not a bad picture of what God does for us in accepting us, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, accepted into the Beloved. Our welcome is far more generous and far more pervasive than Sherry's. We were enemies of God, but we've been made accepted in the Beloved. He's drawn us close and he's made us part of his family, and he embraces us. Therefore, we stand amazed and we glory in the cross. Sixth reason to glory in the cross is the cross brought salvation when we were lost. It brought salvation when we were lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2 says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, everything in Scripture comes back to the cross. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and the central part of his life and ministry was the cross. Whatever else we neglect to teach, we cannot neglect to teach the cross. Without the cross, no one will be saved. Without a knowledge that Jesus Christ's death was a substitutionary death in my place, no one will know the Lord. Without a person coming to embrace that truth, trusting Christ as their own Savior from sin, and having a living relationship with Him, all their knowledge about Him will count for nothing. It's all vanity without the cross and trusting what Christ did there. Therefore, Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This week a little boy was saved as his family home burnt down and went up in smoke. A passing motorist saw the flames and stopped, and he went round tapping on the windows to see if he could see anyone in the house. And in one window he tapped, up popped this little boy's head. He grabbed a chair that was outside, broke the window, and saved the little boy. Without that motorist, police said, he would have died. Yes, and without Christ, we would not be saved. The mayor of Kingaroy said he would make it top priority to meet the local hero. And since Christ is the hero of all mankind, we glory in the cross. Perhaps the pinnacle of all reasons why we can glory in the cross is the cross proves Christ's love for us once and for all. It proves that He loves us once and for all. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates, proves His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, still enemies of God, Christ died for us." He loved us enough to die for us whilst we were enemies. How much more does He love us now that we belong to Him? We should never doubt His love again. We all go through dark times, dark tunnels, great difficulties. Don't ever doubt His love for you. He has proved His love for you on the cross. So we love Him because He first loved us. Oh, how we love Him. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. Well, I suppose the question comes to us, do we glory in the cross the way that the saints before us have gloried in the cross, seeing in it the deliverance and love of God for us? Maybe we could make it our prayer that God would continue to show us all the glories of the cross, that it may be our boast. Indeed, Lord, we echo those words. What a triumphant way in which to end our service today. What a love, what a cost, and because of it we stand forgiven at the cross. Thank you, Lord. Help us to see the glory of the cross, that it may be our boast. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.